Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Turner Classic Movies, TCM, honors Pride Month with Gay Hollywood every Thursday, an extensive movie lineup dedicated to exploring LGBT themes in cinema, spotlighting a number of LGBT actors and artists whose talents help them overcome the roadblocks they faced because of their orientation or gender identity. Hosting is entertainment journalist and TV personality Dave Karger, along with author and historian William Mann. Dave is an award-winning host, interviewer, film expert, close to 200 live appearances on NBC's Today Show, a regular contributor to E! And Access Hollywood. For 17 years, senior writer at Entertainment Weekly, Dave was an official red carpet greeter for the Oscars, only the third person to ever hold that post. He serves on the juries of the top film festivals in the country, and in 2015, he was named the year's outstanding entertainment journalist. And now, host of TCM's Gay Hollywood every Thursday in June, Dave Karger with us on This Week in America. Dave, welcome to the program.
What a nice introduction. Thank you so much, Rick.
Well, what a career you've had. As I'm watching the series and I'm watching the movies and I'm watching your interaction with William, you're an entertainment journalist. Movies have been a big part of your life since childhood, basically. And I get the impression you're still learning something as you're watching these movies and talking with William.
Absolutely, I am. And that's been one of the real joys of doing this TCM Gay Hollywood Spotlight is that it was so much fun for me to delve in and dive into all of the research about particularly these 15 men and women that we're spotlighting. We basically spotlight three people per night, five Thursday nights in June. There's two nights left, this Thursday and next Thursday. And it's been fascinating to me to learn about these people from the 1930s all the way up till the 80s who were making huge contributions to the world of film despite all the limitations put in their way. And it's quite inspirational for me as well.
Well, when you started, I think it was the first night you were talking about William Haynes, who was an MGM star back in the 1930s. And it's interesting because I was not familiar with the backstory with him, and I found out you weren't either. You said basically you're really taken by his story. Talk about the significance that William Haynes had on the film industry.
So William Haynes was really the first gay movie superstar. He was a big star in the 20s during the silent film era, and he was one of the few silent film actors who was able to successfully make the transition into the world of talkie pictures because he had a great voice, whereas a lot of the silent film actors, as soon as the talking picture started, their careers just fell apart.
Yes.
But he was this really great, cheeky kind of guy, kind of looks like Paul Rudd, very charming, very handsome, and did these really terrific, silly comedies, but had a little bit of an aspect of danger to him. You weren't really sure what he was going to do. And after the talking picture started, he actually was brought into the office of Louis B. Mayer, the head of MGM. It was an open secret that he was gay, that he had a partner. And Louis B. Mayer said, look, we're in an era now where I need to put out in the fan magazines that you're going to get married. I need you to get married to a woman. And this is what part of playing the Hollywood game is going to be. And Billy Haynes said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm devoted to my partner. Jimmy Shields was his name. And he refused. And that basically signaled the end of his movie career. And he had a great second career as the go-to in-demand interior designer in Hollywood. He did Joan Crawford's house. He even did Louis B. Mayer's house. But after that, he really didn't have a career in film anymore. So I'm so happy that TCM decided to kick off this Gay Hollywood series with him because it was really interesting to learn his story.
Yeah, it's so interesting, the courage that he displayed, because he could have easily said, okay, nobody is going to know the difference, let's go ahead and do that. But he refused to live in the closet. He would just, this is my life, either accept it or I'll move on and do something else.
You're exactly right. And compare that to Montgomery Clift or Rock Hudson or Tab Hunter, a lot of these terrific actors who were gay but would not admit it until, you know, late in life, or we never really even found out in some cases until after they were gone.
Yeah, we went through a number of leading men, heartthrobs in the 50s and 60s. You mentioned several that remained closeted during most of their careers, in some cases all of their careers.
It's true, and isn't that too bad?
Yes.
You know, and again, I applaud TCM for putting this series together because, you know, for a lot of people, it's eye-opening at worst and inspirational at best, you know, to learn about these people and realize that they were still able to do great things in film, even if, you know, social confines of the time meant that they couldn't really live their lives openly.
And we've seen a case recently with Joel Grey, the Oscar winner that finally came out of the closet, what, in 2015, at age 82, and you think of all that life that he lived, trying to conceal who he actually is.
Yeah, I mean, in the case of Joel, and also in Rock Hudson's instance as well, in some of these cases, the homosexuality was pretty much an open secret in the industry.
Yes.
But you're right, when it comes to, you know, being public and being out to, you know, the fans and that kind of thing, yes, for Joel, he didn't do it until his 80s. Kind of reminded me of that great film a couple of years ago, Beginners, that Christopher Plummer won his Oscar for, where he decided to come out as a man in his low 80s after his wife passed away. Such a great, great film.
We're talking about Gay Hollywood on TCM every Thursday in June. Dave Carter is the host and with us on This Week in America. You've said that you were surprised by how many prominent actors, directors who were working in the 30s and 40s were gay, lived authentic lives, and the homosexuality was widely known in the film industry. Talk about some of those that were able to go ahead and to live their actual lives.
Well, one person that we talked about earlier on in the series was a really fascinating filmmaker named James Whale. And people know who he is a little bit because Ian McKellen played him in the movie Gods and Monsters in 97 and actually got an Oscar nomination for it. 98, actually, it was. And James Whale was really known for movies like Bride of Frankenstein. So he was this horror master, but he was gay and lived his life very openly as a gay man. Arthur Lawrence, the terrific screenwriter who we're spotlighting this Thursday, we're showing Gypsy. He also wrote Rope, the Alfred Hitchcock film. He was very open about his sexuality. Linda Hunt, who's someone we're spotlighting next Thursday, has been an out lesbian for many, many years. She won an Oscar for actually playing a man in The Year of Living Dangerously, a film that we're going to show next Thursday night, and now is on national network TV on a weekly basis on NCIS LA. And so her sexuality hasn't hindered her career one bit.
There are so many important moments that came about in the history. Let's talk about the Hays Code and the impact that had on not only the LGBT community, but filming in general. A lot of people will make the argument that really set the film industry as a whole back a number of years. Talk about what that was and the impact.
So from the 1930s to the 1960s, this Hays Code was in effect, which was a morality code that was over all of the major studio films, where major studio films were not allowed to have overtly sexual content at all in the film, much less homosexual content. And there were people who would literally go through the movie scripts before the films were shot and X out any line of dialogue that they deemed, you know, crossing the line past this code. So to what you just said, that had two effects. One, it meant that, you know, gay men and lesbians couldn't be as open with their lives, but also just the films in general could not be explicitly gay, you know, any suggestion of homosexuality for a character. So, for instance, one of the movies that we showed last week in this series was Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, written by the openly gay playwright Tennessee Williams. Well, the play, you know, in the play, the character that Paul Newman plays in the film is pretty gay, and it's much more spelled out. But because the film was made during the years of the code, all suggestions really had to be kept at a minimum. So the homosexual content of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, you really have to read between the lines to get it. And I really think the movie, although fantastic, suffers a little bit because they weren't able to truly spell out what the torment of this character was.
Yeah, they tried with coded messages to try to get some of the themes across, but it was very difficult during that period. And then we come up to the Stonewall riots in New York City. Talk about the impact that had, tremendous impact nationwide on the population as a whole, but the impact it had on the film community.
Well, you know, because that took place, you know, in the late 60s, I think you saw concurrently with that the dissolution of the code. You know, movies like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which we show next Thursday on TCM, that really helped bring down the code because they just decided to release that movie without the blessing of the code, and that really helped make the code obsolete. But around that same time, in the late 60s, you saw movies like Midnight Cowboy, directed by John Schlesinger, who we profile this Thursday night. We show his earlier film called Billy Liar. But with movies like Midnight Cowboy, I think films like that, which were able to be more sexually frank, and by the way, that movie was rated X at the time and still won the Oscar for Best Picture, I think that really paved the way for movies like Boys Don't Cry and Brokeback Mountain. And then this year we had Moonlight, a movie where the lead character is a young black gay boy living in Miami, and it won the Oscar for Best Picture, the first time ever that an Oscar winner for Best Picture had a gay character in the lead role. So I think we've seen major strides being made. We still have a way to go, but the change has been palpable.
It's interesting when we see the impact of LGBT actors and artists on the film industry, and you alluded to it a second ago with silent films. This goes all the way back to the beginning, doesn't it?
Yes, and William Mann, the film historian who joins me all month long, he has written a book called Behind the Screen, which really details not only the big names in early Hollywood who were gay, but the costume designers, the composers, the set decorators. There was a sizable gay and lesbian community in early Hollywood, and it had no negative impact on their ability to make big contributions to the film world.
The other thing that's interesting as we're watching Gay Hollywood, the series Thursdays in June on TCM, and some of the movie titles you've talked about, it really is an eclectic mix, isn't it? I mean, all different genres are represented.
That's what I love about this series. So 10 years ago, TCM did another gay film series where it was films with gay themes, gay characters. This one's different because we're looking at people who were gay behind the scenes and showing off some of their fantastic films. So not all of the movies in this Gay Hollywood series have gay characters or gay themes in them. So if you look at a movie like Night and Day, which is the biopic of Cole Porter, where Cary Grant plays Cole Porter, Cole Porter's homosexuality is erased from the movie, which is too bad, but it's still a great film and shows a lot of what Cole Porter was able to achieve. But let's just make the point, Cole Porter was nothing like Cary Grant as far as
exactly
or his appearance. But, you know, at least we got to see some of the great music that he brought to this world.
I've got about 2 minutes left in the program. Talk about where we are now, how the LGBT themes have evolved and where we are in 2017.
Well, what's been great is that, you know, for the 80s and 90s, particularly where gay films really were more plentiful, they were great films, but in many cases, they were super tragic stories. So stories about men dying of AIDS, stories about Brandon Tina, the transgender young person who Hilary Swank played in Boys Don't Cry, who was murdered. And then that was the first iteration. Then there was this iteration of films where the entire plot was about coming out and the good thing about coming out, the bad thing about coming out. I think we've gotten past that now. So a lot of gay film now, the characters are gay, and they just are, and they're living their lives, and it's not just about dying, it's not just about coming out, it's about living a life. So that's good. But I do think in the major studio system particularly, the gay characters are too often the silly sidekick or the villain or some kind of token character in
right.
the film, and I think we'll be making even more strides when major studio films have lead characters that are gay, and that's just a fact of their lives.
It is fascinating. Gay Hollywood is every Thursday in June on TCM. Dave Karger is host of the program. The movies you'll get to see. You get to work with basically an encyclopedia every week. This has to be fun to go in and watch movies and work with a guy that's got all the knowledge of the film industry. Dave, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Take care.
You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.